It's always great to welcome back to the show a local artist who has been creating music of various genres through the years, including rock and roll back in the day in the band Radish, and his current kind of country Americana solo effort. With me tonight on Notably Texan is John David Ken. How's it going, buddy?
Good. How are you, Matt?
Oh, it's fantastic, man. It's always a treat to get to talk to you, man. I don't know how many times now this makes we've had you on the show, but I'm happy to continue to welcome you on anytime you'd like to talk to us.
Yeah, no, I feel the same way, man. Every time I get to chat with you, it's a pleasure. As I've mentioned multiple times, you know, I've been a huge fan and supporter of the station for many years, you know, way before I had the pleasure of getting to meet you and before
right.
you guys started playing my music. So yeah, it's an honor.
Well, yeah, it's kind of your hometown station, if you will. You're over in Celeste, for anybody that doesn't know.
That's true. Just a stone's throw away.
That's right. And we certainly broadcast to Celeste and far beyond. So, like I said, it's always cool to talk to a local hometown hero such as yourself, man. I want to remind the listeners that John David Kent is currently touring. He's going to make a stop in Commerce Saturday night at the Drunken Mule. We'll talk a little bit more about that before we're done tonight. And it's been a little bit of time since we've caught up, John. Your music continues to gain the attention it deserves, in my opinion, and you recently had some nice activity on the Texas music charts with the single Back to the Country.
Yeah, that did really well. I think it got to maybe somewhere between 12 and 10, or I can't remember exactly what number, but it held on for a long time, and we just released our third single, Runaway,
yes.
Two or three weeks ago, and it's been the fastest rising single on the Texas charts. And has been the most added single.
Nice.
Within the last couple of weeks. So that's something that we're really, you know, really happy about. And, you know, it's just music, you know, I know a lot of people, especially artists, don't like to think of it as a business, but you know,
right.
in the business of music, it's just like any other business. It just takes a long time, you know, for your product to catch hold, you know. I mean, just like if you were opening up a donut shop or a coffee shop or something, I mean, you know, it takes a while for the word to get out there. And
sure.
it's just like with music too, you know. I mean, we've been at this for 2 or 3 years now, but really, we've really only, you know, had a real major push just this last year. So for a lot of people, you know, we're a year old.
Yes.
Actually, for the majority of the people, we're a year old. So, you know, we covered a lot of ground last year. And, you know, I think a lot of people, you know, people at radio and other bands and venue owners, they're kind of like, you know, they've been hearing about the name and I feel like we've been building somewhat of a good reputation. But a lot of people, you know, they're still going to stand around kind of with their arms folded, you know, kind of
sure.
like, well, show me what you got, kid, kind of mentality.
Yes.
You know? And so, you know, now that we've kind of been out there for a year and we've kind of, quote unquote, proven ourselves, I think that's why maybe certain stations that didn't play the first two singles or didn't, you know, give it that much of attention, they're, you know, they're like, okay, well, it seems like these guys are going to be around for a while. And
yes.
so they seem more willing to get on the bandwagon and support when they feel like it's not going to be just kind of a flash in the pan or
yeah.
here today, gone tomorrow kind of thing. And,
so
and that's such a funny thing to me because I've been around for 15 years too.
Yeah,
you know?
I know. Right. That you bring up an interesting point that, right, a lot of people are kind of treating you as if you just got into this and you've been doing this since you were just a young lad and there's so much competition out there. You know, I can attest as a music, you know, show host here that we get a lot of music in every week, you know, electronically and physical CDs still sent into the station. And sometimes it is hard to sift through it all and figure out exactly who's going to be those longstanding musicians and artists that are really going to stick out. And I think that you're definitely one of those, man.
Well, I appreciate you saying that, Matt. I mean, that certainly means a lot coming from you because I worked at a radio station for a few months and it really is overwhelming the amount of submissions, you know, the amount of material that people are, you know, that people are sending in that you have to try to, like you said, sift through and decipher through. And it's just so crazy. I mean, the amount is so large that I remember working at the station and Chris Christopherson, who's, you know, a legend.
Oh, yeah.
No, right. It just released a new album and man, it was on the shelf with, you know, these other unknown artists. And I just
really?
I remember thinking to myself, like, you know, there's a lot of music out there when a Kris Kristofferson album is like
left in the wrapper up there,
yeah,
basically. Yeah,
exactly. So anyway,
that's an interesting point, man. Yeah, it's you know, sometimes the life of an artist and the popularity can be like kind of mentioned, a flash in the pan. Sometimes somebody who's a very well known and well respected artist can kind of lose a little bit of steam, you know. And I don't know why. It's hard to explain it sometimes, but it's just the nature of things, I guess.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's just like with fashion or anything else. I think to a certain degree, especially if you're, you know, a top 40 station, you have to kind of keep up with the trends.
Yes.
And whereas, you know, I mean, Kris Kristofferson is one of my, you know, top five favorite artists of all time.
Right.
But sadly, you know, he's not selling the kind of albums in terms of volume, the amount of, and not, you know, drawing the fans like a Jason Aldean would.
Exactly. Yeah.
And it, you know, I guess it's kind of like, you know, as an artist, you kind of have to know your, you know, who your audience is and who your listeners are. And just like with any other business, you know, radio or whatever, you kind of have to know your audience. And that's kind of what you have to appease, if you will.
Absolutely, man. I know a couple of minutes ago, I mentioned this tune, Back to the Country, and I was going to mention that it's been really cool to kind of witness the evolution of your music because, as you know, we've talked to you several times. I think it's been, maybe almost 2 years ago or so, a long time ago, we had you in the studio, and you did a very cool acoustic version of that tune, Back to the Country, which we still pull out from time to time here on the program. And then,
oh, that's cool.
And
we've
then to
probably
get to,
just written that song.
Yeah, I believe so. And then to get to hear that in its full produced glory on the CD was really neat. It gives us a good feel for what it must be like for you to kind of create and build and layer these songs.
Yeah, you know, that's a really funny thing. I was just having this conversation a few days ago about writing. I can't remember who I was talking to, but, you know, to me, writing is, most of the time, it's this very, like, you know, sort of mysterious process where you're sort of just grabbing at things out of thin air, you know? You know, like an inventor mixing potions or whatever.
Yes.
You know, kind of that thing. I mean, there are, like, you know, certain formulas that you can do. And I think the more that you do it, like, you know, a lot of staff writers, you know, in Nashville or New York, I mean, when they're, you know, going to two or three writing sessions a day and it becomes much more of a formula way of doing things, I mean, you sort of learn muscle memory, you know, to sort of subconsciously do things. But, you know, for me, I don't pound out a song a day or two songs a day. So,
right.
It is kind of a mysterious process in terms of, you know, ending up a lot of times differently than where you started from. You know, you might have an idea or you might have a really good roadmap of where you think this song's going to go, but a lot of times it goes in a different direction, and that's kind of where you have to just sort of give in to the song. And, you know, that was a song, Back to the Country, that I wrote with Austin Cunningham. And, you know, I was kind of hearing this sort of, you know, in my mind, I was hearing this kind of Hank Jr., kind of rock and country thing is sort of what I was imagining, I guess, when we were writing the song. And, I mean, I don't know if it turned out that way at all. And that's not necessarily where we tried to force it once we got in the studio, but, it is really cool to, like, to see the evolution of a song. And it usually, you know, songs really start to take the shape, you know, out on the road and on the stage.
Oh, right.
After a band hounds it out for, you know, months and just does it hundreds of times.
Yeah,
and by
exactly.
By the time you go in the studio, you know, it's really kind of found its groove. And,
that's
I love that song. I appreciate you bringing that up because that's, Austin's a good friend of mine, and we had a good time writing it.
Well, John, we talked about the evolution of your songs a little bit. Let's give listeners a taste of how Back to the Country sounded live at KETR back in 2010.
Going back to the country, I'm gonna sit a spell. I need a drink from the water of a deeper well. heard Jesus calling through my mama's prayers. Going back to the country, gonna heal up there. Oh, mama, I'll be there. Going back to the country. Going back to the country. I need a drink that water from a deeper well. Back to the country.
And let's check out now how the song has evolved and changed on your self-titled album, music by John David Kent, called Back to the Country on Notably Texan.
Going back to the country, I'm gonna sit a spell. I need a drink from the water of a deeper well. I heard Jesus calling through my mama's prayers. I'm going back to the country, gonna heal up there. Oh, mama, I'll be there. Going back to the country. Going back to the country. I need a drink that water from a deeper well. Back to the country. When I come up the drive, going back to the country. Going back to the country. I need a drink that water from a deeper well. Back to the country. Going back to the country. Going back to the country. I need a drink that water from a deeper well. Back to the country. Back to the country. Going back to the country. Back to the country.
John David Kent talking with me tonight on Notably Texan. Now, John, you're a multi-instrumentalist. I believe you play everything from guitar to drums to piano. But, of course, one of your main tools as an artist is your distinct voice. And I wanted to bring up, I understand you recently underwent some surgery, actually, to repair your vocal cords. Would you be willing to talk about that?
Yeah, for sure. Well, I had the same issue that that Adele and Keith Urban and I think maybe even John Mayer. I mean, there's a few artists out there right now that have kind of undergone the same thing, but I had polyps, which are like blisters, and you know, usually you know a singer or a speaker or whatever will get, you know, a couple of different things, nodules or polyps, and nodules will usually go away with proper rest and hydration and all that kind of stuff. It's more like a callus, but a polyp is it's like a blister on the vocal cords.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, I went through, I started having really bad vocal fatigue like the last 5 months of last year. And, you know, I'd gone to multiple specialists, and, you know, they were each telling me something different. And, I was doing so much research, and, I was trying every home remedy that you can imagine.
Oh, I bet.
And, nothing was, I was able to get through the shows, but it was a struggle, you know, and I felt like I could be putting myself in a situation to do permanent damage. And I didn't feel like I was at my best, which is, you know, as a performer, I want people that are, you know, paying to come see us play. I want them to walk out feeling like, you know, they got their money's worth and had a great time and all that stuff. So, you know, there were just a lot of challenges that we were faced with. And, you know, as a quote unquote new artist, you know, we gained a lot of momentum last year, and I was so nervous. You know, the one thing that all the doctors did say that they kind of all had in common were, you have to take some time, you have to rest. And, you know, we're workers, man. We work hard, and we have a very blue collar grassroots mentality, you know, where we get out and we beat the streets and we work hard. And so, you know, for somebody like me, you know, when someone's saying, man, you got to take 2 to 3 months off, I mean, that's a scary scenario.
Right. Yeah.
Especially since we had all this momentum, because you have all these insecurities and these fears like, well, you know, what if they forget about us? You know,
yes.
There's going to be somebody out there that's going to be working twice as hard. So there's all these flood of emotions, you know, that sort of take over. And so we sort of put our faith in the Lord's hands and said, okay, we're going to, this is what we have to do. We're going to take this time off. And I didn't know at that point that I was going to have surgery.
Right.
I just knew that we had to take some time off. So,
man,
we blacked out January and February, and we just said, all right, no shows, no nothing. And I mean, I went on strict, no talking, no coughing, no throat clearing.
Wow.
Extremely challenging.
Took a little vow of silence there, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I really did for 2 weeks. And that's how they were able to diagnose that they were polyps. And as soon as they figured that out, man, my the specialist that I really felt good about, who I think was, I can't say enough about him at this point, but he immediately rushed me in, and he had a new procedure that he was doing that allowed the healing process. You know, it took less time. You know, a lot of people are out 3 to 6 months
with
surgery. And, man, we were going by the second week in March.
Wow.
But he performed the surgery, and then I had to go back on silence and had really strict, you know, therapeutic things that I was doing. And I still see my, voice pathologist twice a month. I mean, she's done wonders for me outside of healing, but just, you know, speaking technique and singing technique and things that will help us not be back in that situation, because
right.
it you know, the road can be very grueling, and you know, you're out, and a lot of times you know rest and hydration, I mean, those are two key things. A lot of times your travel schedule, you know, won't allow you to get the proper rest.
Absolutely.
And, you know, there's people that you have to talk to before and after the shows, and
all this,
you know,
radio stuff.
Very, yeah, I mean, it could just be very demanding.
Sure.
And it's all part of it. And I mean, it's, you know, we wouldn't be anywhere, you know, without, you know, guys like you and the fans that come out the show. So I certainly don't want it to sound like I'm saying all those things are an inconvenience, but it just can be taxing physically.
Certainly.
You know, on your body. And so, you know, having proper technique just sort of helps avoid, you know, career ending or career injuries, if you will, ending injuries.
Right. Just same with an athlete, you know.
It's the exact same thing. We've made lots of comparisons to athletes and professional teams
right.
around our camp last 2 or 3 months, because we've made some changes. We've We've got a couple of new band members in there now, and so the time off was much more of a blessing in disguise than
sure.
than you can imagine. It really gave us a chance to regroup, and like I said, we've got a couple of new band members that are just phenomenal, and you know, the sound continues to evolve, and new bands, new songs. You know, it's a breath of fresh air.
That's wonderful, man. Well, I'm thrilled to hear that the surgery was a great success, and with that vocal surgery behind you, you've really hit the ground running again, setting forth on a busy year of touring. I think you're trying to do close to 200 shows a year or something like that. You're crazy, man.
Yeah, I think we'll probably be between 150 and 200, somewhere around there.
Wow.
Probably closer to the 150 mark. But, you know, I attribute my team to the work that they do behind the scenes. And I think with any successful band or any successful business, you know, you really have to look behind the scenes, and you have to, you know, it's usually a team of people that achieve the success. I mean, there might be the face of a company or the name of a company, but, you know, I just really have been very blessed and very fortunate to have a great team. You know, our manager works extremely hard, and my wife, you know, that's another achievement in our personal lives. You know, she does all the day-to-day like business stuff.
Uh-huh.
So we get to work together every day, and she's
that's great.
Very, very intricate part of the you know, keeping the wheels on the road, so to speak. And he's got a great tour manager that travels with us, and you know, obviously great radio promoter that's out there working it hard.
Yes.
And my radio promoter and then my publicist are both based out of Nashville. So, you know, we don't get to be together every day, and we don't get to office out of the same place, but, you know, everybody, we keep an open line of communication, and everybody's just very committed and very much on the same page. And like I said earlier, we just, you know, we kind of have that grassroots mentality where you get out and you build your career and you build your success with one fan at a time.
Right.
And so that's what we've been doing, and that's what we're just going to continue to do. It's just, you know, keep building this thing one fan at a time everywhere we go.
Well, I'm glad to hear that you're keeping at it, man. You're really facing a lot of adversity, taking it head on, and I'm glad things are going so well for you. You mentioned a little earlier your new single, Runaway. I've got that queued up right now. What would you like to tell me about this tune, John?
That song barely made the album.
Really?
Yeah, it's funny. Our the former guitar player and I, and the former bass player for that matter too, we were sitting around one of our buddies' house in Nashville. It's been, you know, about a year and a half ago, and he started strumming this chord progression and kind of landed on this melody. She's just a runaway, you know,
uh-huh.
It kind of came out, you know. That's what I was talking about, one of those sort of like mystical things. Like,
yeah.
Where did that come from? You know?
Right.
And so we kind of started working out the harmonies and started massaging the melody a little bit more. And I thought, you know, wow, you know, we just wrote ourselves a catchy little chorus there. And then you sort of, you know, we had to go somewhere else. So we didn't think much about finishing it at that time, kind of tucked it in our back pocket and went on down the road. And then when we got back from that trip, we started pre-production with Mike Gage, who co-produced the album and engineered the album. And, you know, we narrowed it down to the songs that we wanted to track. And you know, we started just massaging those songs and working on arrangements and working out the kinks and, you know, just the things that you do to prepare for the album.
Sure.
And, so at the end of one of the rehearsals, I was like, hey, you know, let's jam that chorus. And so we started, you know, jamming the chorus. She's just a runaway. And the producer was like, what is that? Like, oh, this, you know, this little idea that we had, and this is all we have. He's like, well, we need to do that. That's,
right.
That's really good. And so we were like, well, that's all we have, you know? He's like, well, you need to finish it. And I feel like I kind of work best under pressure a lot of times.
Okay.
And knowing that we were getting ready to go in the studio, you know, we went home and it's kind of funny. The bass player and the guitar player, you know, worked on lyrics on their own. And then I had some ideas, and then we came together and we, you know, tweaked a few things and filled in a few blanks, and we had ourselves a song. And
that's a great
song. And that was one of those songs that we had never, ever played as a band until after the record was finished.
I mean, really?
Yeah, because, you know, the drums went down, and then, you know, everything was done. We multi-tracked it, so everything was done separately. And all the parts, you know, I was saying earlier, you know, a lot of times before you go in the studio, you like Back to the Country, I mean, we've been, you know, we played that song 75, 80 times before we played it, you know, before we started recording it.
Yes.
But this song, Runaway, I mean, that was a song where we didn't have it came together in the studio. You know, we didn't really have the privilege of trying it out, you know, in front of audiences for 6 months. So we wrote the parts in the studio, and you know, it was just, you know, to me, it's always kind of been a standout track in terms of, you know, in terms of singles, if you will. And so we decided to release that as the third single, and like I said earlier, it seems to be going over at least with program directors. I don't know. I mean, we'll see how the fans take to it, you know, if it keeps climbing and if they start reacting at shows. But it's one of those courses where it's not so repetitive that it's annoying, but
yes,
it's repetitive in the sense that it's sort of easy and simple and can kind of stay with you. And a lot of times, you know, last year, you know, way before we talked about releasing it as a single, I would see people singing the chorus that obviously had never heard it, you know,
really,
by the second time around. And a lot of times I would get, there's a breakdown section, kind of like, you know, a Bon Jovi arena rock breakdown section.
Yeah.
And I would kind of encourage the crowd and teach the crowd to sing with us. And they would be singing. And it wasn't one of those things where, like, you know, hundreds of people have the album and know the song. I mean,
right,
it was just one of those courses that was, you know, just kind of had the simplistic ability to stay with you.
It's infectious, and, you know. I mean, it feels familiar the first time you hear it. That's the great thing about that tune.
Well, I appreciate that. I hope a million other people feel the same way you do.
Well, for those rare folks that have not heard it yet, let's spin it now here on Notably Texan. It's music by my guest John David Kent. The new single called Runaway. We're coming right back with John on Notably Texan. This is 88.9 KETR.
Late one night, looking for a way to get away and make things right. There's a 215 headed west for the Hollywood, but it's always the same, and she'll never change what she should. She keeps her sense of pride by keeping her just a runaway, runaway, running around. She's just a runaway.
That's music by my guest, John David Kent. It's called Runaway. That's found on the self-titled album, John David Kent, which also has what I dare say the new classic, My Girl, and tons of other great tunes on there. Let's remind folks where they can find that album, John. I think they can find it on your website, amongst other places.
Yeah, there's a store at johndavidkent.com, and you can pick up the album. You can pick up, T-shirts and posters and koozies and, all that kind of fun stuff.
Sure.
But it's also on iTunes and Amazon and, all the online retailers.
Sure.
Has it. And then it's also in Hastings and Best Buy, I believe. So, there's
nice
stores that are carrying the physical copies, too. But
and for you youngsters, there used to be these places called record stores where you could actually go and purchase music at a physical location. I know it sounds like a mystical thing.
It actually came with like artwork that you could touch and feel and read. And yeah, I know. I'm with you there, man. I miss those days.
Well, hey, it's at least, if nothing else, one thing you can say about music is that it's a lot more accessible these days. If somebody wants to purchase an album, they don't have to worry about, well, does my local record store carry it? You're going to be able to download it and pay for it online. So,
yeah, no, it is, man. And, obviously, big major labels and stuff. I mean, it's having online file sharing and that kind of stuff has definitely changed the game. But, man, I think, music's bigger than it's ever been right now. And there's more people that support it and love it. And, that's one of those things where, file sharing and burning albums and stuff.
Sure.
I mean, it's, I think, I could see both sides of it, but as an artist, if someone likes my music enough to burn a copy to share with someone else, I mean, that's flattering.
It is.
Whether it's ethically right or wrong, that's flattering to know that there's a fan like that out there, and I think artists need to keep that in mind a lot of times because, obviously you have to treat your business as a business so that you can make money to stay in business. But it's also a very, music is also a very like personal thing where,
right.
It is about connecting on a personal level. And I think that's why like Twitter and Facebook and those kinds of things are so incredibly successful is because it makes people and artists more accessible.
Oh yeah.
I mean, if you want to know what Lady Gaga is doing at this very moment, you can pull up her Twitter and probably have a really good idea.
Maybe even find out more than you wanted to know.
Well, probably that too, but for a fan, I mean, that's I don't want to get far off
I follow exactly what you mean.
You forget about being a fan when you're an artist and you forget how you felt when you were 13 or 14 years old and you couldn't wait until your favorite band was coming to town.
Yes.
And they were putting out a new CD and you just that anticipation would just almost kill you,
no
and
doubt.
So anyway,
well, speaking of social networking, I know that folks can keep up with you on Facebook and find out about all these tour dates that you've got in the days ahead, and it's a lot of fun to follow you on Facebook. You let us into your life a lot there.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's about, I think, connecting on a personal level. And, people can find us at facebook.com/JohnDavidKent, and same thing with Twitter.
Excellent.
We're trying to encourage everyone to follow us on Twitter and interact with us. And also, you know, on Facebook, as you mentioned, I mean, all of our tour dates are on the band page. And,
yes.
And also, you know, we post once or twice a week, you know, about that, those, you know, that week's shows in particular. And you know, and a lot of people are really having fun with getting on after shows and interacting about, you know, fun time they had. And,
yes.
You know, we love that. We love when people get on and they post and they, you know, share photos or, you know, share a memory or whatever. So
it's so cool, man. And, yeah. And in fact, I learned from following you on Facebook on a recent update that that you just shot a segment for the television series Texas Music Scene, which airs locally on KTVT out of Dallas Saturday nights at 12:30.
Yeah.
That's really cool. Did they let you know when that's going to air by chance?
No.
Okay.
And we'll post it as soon as they do. But, yeah, that was a real honor. You know, that's a show that really reaches out to, you know, artist-friendly show, if you will. And,
yes.
The production is great, and you know, when I'm at home, I watch it. And so we were up for a couple of Lone Star Music Awards a couple of weeks ago, and so we were in Austin, or San Marcos, I guess, actually, for the awards ceremony. Our publicist was there from Nashville, and so they were putting together, I don't know if this was a special episode or whatever, because there were a few different artists that I, you know, that's going to be on that segment. So
right.
That was a real honor to get chosen to be on that.
Yeah.
We'll definitely be posting details when we know when it's going to air.
Oh, that's really exciting, because they have a lot of huge names. And of course, the program is hosted by Sleep at the Wheel's Ray Benson. So, I mean, there's a lot of clout associated with that program for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, it is, man. It's, and like I said, it's, you know, it's a first class production, and you know, when you're lumped in with the artists that have done the show, you know, like I said, it's a real honor, because you think about, like, you know, the people that have done it versus the amount of people that wish they could do it.
Yes.
Or, you know what I mean? It's kind of like, you know, I think that was such a big deal for us when my girl was picked up by CMT and put in rotation. I was like, you know, this is pretty incredible that, you know, they show how many of her videos they show, but compared to the amount of videos that are out there that have been submitted that don't get picked up, it's astonishing.
It really is.
And it becomes an honor.
No doubt, man. Well, I you know, I said it at the top of the interview, but I honestly believe you're receiving the attention that you deserve, man, because your music is just outstanding, and we're really fortunate to have you still living right out here in our neck of the woods in Northeast Texas, man. I think a lot of people are counting their days until you pack it up and go to Nashville or something like that. So,
well, you know, I've got a song about, you know, growing up in a small town and doing what you can to get out. It's called A Place to Call Home. It's on the album.
Yes.
And but you know, there's these things that kind of bring you back and draw you back. And I don't know where I'll be in 10 years, so I can't say that, you know, will forever be right here, but
of course,
you know, for right now, this is home, and this is you know, this is a good place for us. You know, we own a recording studio and you know, our offices and inventory and you know, the loft where bands stay when they're passing through, where my tour manager lives. I mean, it's all right here. We live right across the street from the studio. So we've got this little compound going, you know, and
there's, that's cool.
We couldn't have that in many other places for a lot of different reasons.
That's
and,
right.
You know, I mentioned having a couple of new band guys.
Yes.
You know, the new guitar player, the new bass player, Scott Cowan out of Greenville, and the new bass player is a guy, Randall Fuller, and he's out of Greenville. And
oh, wow.
And then our organ player is out of Rockwall. So, you know, to have this caliber of band and this caliber of musicians just right here,
I know.
You know, it's a godsend, because when I started putting out feelers for some new players, man, I was getting guys that were wanting to audition that were in Austin and Fort Worth, and that would just be so hard to coordinate rehearsals.
Right.
You know, if guys were having to drive, you know, from Fort Worth, and I mean,
yeah, that really
Austin
complicates
or,
it.
I mean, yeah, it just, it would be, it would be almost impossible. So, you know, we've been very, very blessed. You know, my family has been, and we've been blessed in the music business. You know, it's, I've been able to be a professional musician, you know, for 15 years. And that's, this is an extremely, extremely difficult business. You know, there's a lot of glamour on the outside looking in, but it's a very, very, very competitive, very, very difficult business. I mean, it's, you know, on one hand, it's the best job in the world, and it's, but it's easy to lose sight of that because it is very, very difficult. You know, it's a lot of work, and keeping a band together, it's a lot of work.
Yes.
So, you know, like I said, I've been very blessed, and you know, we've got a great little setup right here in Northeast Texas.
Well, hats off to you for sticking with it and doing what you do and doing it the way you want to do it. I think it's just wonderful to have that the tunes coming out, and we're really enjoying that stuff, man. I know that I've taken up a lot of your time tonight already, and you're a busy guy. I want to remind folks that you're playing in downtown Commerce this Saturday night at 8 at the Drunken Mule. You're going to have the full band accompanying you, I assume?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're going to. We're going to get it rocking in there, that's for sure.
Nice. Well, I know that you know, you like to make regular stops here in Commerce, and we like to get the word out on that. So it's an opportunity for local listeners to catch our local hero, John David Kent, playing in Commerce. And, man, I really appreciate you talking to Notably Texan again, man.
Man, I can't thank you enough for all the support. I mean, like I said, and I mean it, it's a real honor anytime we get to chat. And we couldn't do it, man, if we didn't have support like you guys and the fans that come out, and venue owners like Garrett right there at the Drunken Mule. You know, it's what kind of makes the completes the circle, if you will.
Yes. Well, we feel very fortunate as well, and so it's just it's a great big happy circle we're living in here, man. I always enjoy our chats, John David Kent, and I look forward to catching up with you again soon, man.
Thank you, Matt.
Hey, I'm going to play you out with a tune you mentioned a minute ago, A Place to Call Home. So,
all right. That sounds great.
Have a great one, buddy. We'll see you soon.
All right, buddy. Looking forward to it.
Stuck in this town, might be forever if I don't leave now. Keeping it to myself somehow, but in the morning I'm westbound and down. Got no destination, nowhere in mind. Looking for a place that makes me feel alive. Not much money, but plenty of time to drive, drive, drive. And I'm gone, gone, so far gone. Wanna turn around, but I gotta keep on. To the horizon of the great unknown. Looking for a place to call home. Looking for a place to call home. Another beautiful day under the western sky. Wishing I had you by my side. In too many days, in too many miles, girl, I miss your smile. But I'm gone, gone, so far gone. Turn around, but I gotta keep on. To the horizon of a great unknown. Looking for a place to call home.